Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Risnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law you watch me cover every day on television to the world of my passion and dreams, and that is theater. And today we talk about one of the classic jukebox musicals of all time, but one of the classic musicals of all time, and it is coming back to Chicago, and for good reason. We're going to be talking about Mamma Mia. And this has been a smash year in the 25th year of this show. Not you personally, but this show has been going on for 25 years. And let me introduce you to my guest for this show, Christine Sherrill, who plays Donna Sheridan. You know, that's the mom here, the lead role. And also Jalen Steele, who plays Tanya, one of the three fabulous ladies that we get to watch. Your third colleague was going to join you. We couldn't make that happen. But thank you for being with me. I appreciate you.
Of course.
Oh, thanks for having us, Paul.
So first of all, it'll be a welcome home to Christine because you get a shout out for being, I mean, you are, and I'm sure you know this, Jalen, but Christine is a Jeff Award winner here for Sunset Boulevard.
Oh,
she's done, that's, was it Drury Lane? As I remember, she's done The Goodman, Christmas Carol, Paramount. Is this still your home in your mind? What's your home, Christine?
It is absolutely my home. I'm thrilled to be coming back home. We actually moved back to the Midwest at the end of COVID, and I continued to audition and work in New York, but this will be my first show back in Chicago since I moved back to the Midwest.
I love it. So when you say Midwest, so you're not in Chicago, you are elsewhere, but nearby?
I actually live in Kenosha.
Oh, that's a good place where we take weekends. You're just going to stay there.
Yeah, it's a great place to weekend.
And Jalen, you are not from here. You are from Texas, but you will be forgiven.
Yes. I actually live in New Jersey now.
Okay. Well, then you're still forgiven. But yeah, that commute into the New York area. I grew up with Greg Edelman, who is now starring in Water for Elephants. I just saw it this weekend. I was there in New York. And and he sort of lives, it's like right over the bridge. He said the good
right
news
over.
Is. Yeah.
15-minute bus ride away. It's amazing.
And the good news is that day that some politician closed the bridge, he goes, I had the reverse commute. I was good. Let's talk about Mamma Mia. This is just, again, 25th year. Christine, I'll just come to you. First of all, you're all three the lead, so I don't mean to kind of single anybody out. The three women in this show are so very important, as are the three guys and the daughter, whatever. But let me just start. If there's anybody who's been living under a rock who doesn't know what this show is about, it is a jukebox musical, but unlike, say, Simon and Garfunkel, where we walk through their career and learn their music, this was just a brilliant design to say, no, we have a plot here, but this music fits in. What I love, I'm sorry, I'm babbling too much, but I love the show. What I love about this is that one of the surprises is you kind of don't know when certain songs will come up. And when they do, you go, yes.
Yes. The story is set on a Greek island, the weekend of Donna's daughter's wedding. And Donna's daughter, Sophie, has invited her three potential dads, and then sort of chaos ensues. But I've had friends that have seen the show for the first time that ask me how we couldn't figure out how you could write a musical to incorporate the ABBA music.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, Paul, it's really interesting, surprising. And I think the second act especially brings some of ABBA's more emotional music in, and folks are surprised by how well it fits into the story.
And I think it's one of the classic stories. Again, I have my New York weekend in my mind, so I just saw the press opening of Heart of Rock and Roll, the Huey Lewis musical. And I'm going to give them a shout out too, because once again, it's like you create this, you know, loose kind of plot, but at the same time, there's a masterful way of weaving the music in. And I'm not sure what comes first, the music or the, do you know, Jalen, like in this show, I don't know how much history they threw at you when you came in, but was there a plot developing and they had to figure out the music, or they had this music and say, what kind of plot works here?
Well, I'm not for certain about which came first, the chicken or the egg. But I do know that they do an amazing job of weaving the music into to tell the story. So it's very interesting. I was going to say about the Act Two music, because we know ABBA for all of its like pop music and everything like that and the good time party music. But to hear the emotional side and also to see what Christine does with it every night is really, really nice.
Oh, I love it. Now, by the way, Christine, you came to plot, you threw out the, and she's invited her three potential dads. Now, for people who don't know the plot, you all said, you said you had some friends who've seen it for the first time. So I think I may have had some viewers or some listeners who went, I'm sorry, what? Three potential dads? So it well known to those who know the show, but Christine, give me a little more explanation as to what that was a reference to.
So Sophie discovers Donna's diary, her mother's diary, shortly before her wedding. She's never known her father. She was raised by Donna, and she discovers that there are three potential. Donna had three people of interest, and she has three potential dads. So she invites them all to figure out which one of them is her father.
And yet Donna seems so angelic, doesn't she?
Yeah, she is. Well,
what the heck was she doing 16 years ago or whatever that was when, the, you know.
Only her best friends know, Tanya and Rosie.
I love it. Oh, and you know what? And let's talk about your character, Tanya, but also Rosie, because I love that Rosie character. That role gets just such fabulous humor. And by the way, I've seen the show, not only here, I know you're thinking, oh, sure, you've seen it a bunch of times. I've seen it in other countries. Argentina, I was in Spain, and it was playing, and I don't speak Spanish, but I went anyway. And for some reason I connected, I don't know how it was, but the Tanya character on stage and I kind of made eye contact. And so there was this, not in any inappropriate way or anything, but through the show, but there was just times when I got the point, I got the whatever she, and maybe she said, there's an American. So I don't know what she was thinking, but it was great. It was great fun. But talk to me about these three ladies, because there's a history there too.
It is definitely a history there. The Dynamos, Donna and the Dynamos, sort of singing group that developed many years ago. I kind of enjoy the part that we just kind of dust off the outfits and go, and we get right back into the groove as if no time had passed at all.
And they still fit. Everything fits.
Yes, exactly. But no, it is a lot of fun. I will say that Tanya's character, she tells it like it is. She's, you know, she loves on Donna and makes sure that she knows, okay, it's all right. You know, maybe it's okay that you have three potential dads going on for Sophie. I love that her character is there for her at that point as well. So
I don't know why I've always, and I don't know if you know this or make this connection, but to me, the Tanya character is not unlike Kim Cattrall as Samantha.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in there.
Okay. There's a little, I don't think snobbery is the right word, but there's something to that character.
It's a joie de vivre.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's definitely that. And she's there in Greece to have a good time. So yeah.
And Jaylen, I'll stay with you. So talk to me a little bit about Rosie, because Rosie is kind of that comedic imaging Coco, whatever. She adds that to the mix.
Yes, she does. We always say that she's kind of the one that's keeping us in charge. She's the bookkeeper of the three. But also just a hilarious character. And we're all in the story kind of finding, well, having the friendship and sort of finding a little love of our own, if you will, in the story. So, yeah.
And Christine, can you tell me a little bit about, I'd hope to have some of the dads join us, but we didn't make that happen. But tell me about the three dads. We got Sam, we got Bill, you got lots of possible dads in there. And maybe you can tell us whether or not you think Christine really knows who the actual dad is going into this, but go ahead.
That's one of the best parts about the show, or greeting audiences afterwards, getting their take on who they think the potential dad is, who the dad is. Donna definitely knows who the dad is. The dad definitely knows. At least in our work. But I wanted to talk to the point about the Dynamos.
Sure.
And how the musical has sort of changed since I was last with it. So
tell me about that.
In Vegas, and I've noticed such a difference in how it's received, who is coming to see the show and why they're coming to see the show. And so much of the show is the same, because if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? But we are getting a whole new generation of people coming to see this show. Mm-hmm. It's somewhat generated, I think, from the movies, but also from the resurgence of disco music, ABBA music. There's a whole new generation listening to ABBA. And I find that so, it makes this experience brand new for me, because I'm meeting these young kids who are like, oh, well, I just like the ABBA music, so I came to see this, and now I want to see more musicals. Mm-hmm. What is this about? Like, I've never been to a live musical show. So that has been really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think that the show has, this show feels different too, in that, you know, we love the humor. We love the iconic bedroom scene with the friends, but we're getting a lot of feedback from audiences saying that they had no idea that they would be so moved to see strong female friendships.
Yeah.
So I think in this world of like these younger generations too, that are sort of struggling to find true long lasting friendships among when there's so much based on social media, right? To find this true grounded connection, see that portrayed, I think it's been really moving for people, unexpectedly moving.
Yeah. That is so cool. I mean, to see that, I guess it makes sense too, after 25 years, right? I mean, some of the people that saw you initially are dead, you know, so I mean, you got to get that new crowd in there. Hey. I'm among them. I'm still around. But Jane, let me see. The other thing that's in this show is people watch this or listen to it. We got to stir up people who haven't seen the show. The truth is, if you're younger, maybe not, whatever, but there's a lot of eye candy in this show, too.
There is a lot of eye candy. But there's also a lot of diversity, too, which makes our tour so wonderful and unique. And it's something that you've never seen before us. What I tell people all the time, it's such a diverse cast. We all bring talents and this just sense of special uniqueness to this tour and to the show and everything. So it's a really beautiful thing to see with with the diversity as well as eye candy, if you will. And
those are not mutually exclusive terms. No. And you know, Krista, that is so important. And I'm not, sometimes I think maybe Hamilton changed the world in that or something, but it seems as though something, I don't know what it is. I just give that show credit or Lynn credit. Mm-hmm. The notion of saying that why we have certain expectations of what a character has to look like and what we expect. I mean, I suppose there was a time that was true, but that we have, but not anymore. I mean, it's just kind of when you come in, and I'm so glad to hear that, because we'll be there on opening night to see you all. But at the same time, Christine, it's the fact that you can look up and go, oh, wow, there's people of color and whatever that. Yes, we never had this in the show before.
We were just in Baltimore, and it happened when we were both there one night, but routinely coming out the stage door in Baltimore and having folks say to us, this is the first musical in a while that looks like our city. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm telling you, it's 25 years this musical has been running. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that it feels as fresh and new to me, because I've been with it almost that long.
You were in Vegas. You've been with it for a while. Yeah.
I just can't believe how fresh and new it feels. And that's one of the things that we're bringing to cities, is that folks can identify and say, oh, my gosh, this feels like our city, the community. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's why those young people might be coming up to you afterwards, because they can also see themselves on that stage.
Yes, yes. And that is very important in this time. So
it is. Maybe I can play Donna going forward if there's no little
kid. Hey, listen. Anything can happen.
Are you free tonight?
For Detroit? No. But, but when you get to Chicago, give me a call. And that's so important. The point you're making, and Jalen, I mean, listen, sometimes you can say, if you do a musical long enough, you know, it would be kind of standard fare to say, oh yeah, sick of it. But the truth is, I don't think that when it comes to ABBA music, I don't think anybody, I just don't think you can, well, maybe you can get sick of it, because you can get sick of anything, but it's so inviting.
There's no way. It's funny because I used to think, oh gosh, eventually I'll get tired of hearing this intro or this. And every time it's just special music each and every time. So I don't mind it at all.
I love it. And Christine, tell me about the relationship between Donna and her daughter, Sophie, because that is such an important part. And when you think about it, as years progress and life progresses in so many diverse ways that, you know, it's interesting how audiences or people react to the relationship between Sophie and Donna. Think about 25 years ago, what Sophie would have been having go through her mind and what a Sophie would have in her mind today. I think that's got to have changed.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that audiences are loving is that in the relationship between Sophie and Donna, Sophie's played by the incredible Alyssa Melendez. I'm not sure she's ever been in Chicago, so I'm really excited for everyone in Chicago to see her because she's just incredible.
Which means take her for a boat ride, take her for pizza.
Yes. I'm really excited to take her to Pettorino's. That's my God,
I'm having dinner there tonight. Yes, for Pre-Goodman. Pre-Goodman. Ask for booth 46. That's where my picture is.
Oh, 36. Wait, 36 or 46?
36, right behind the registration desk. That's the WGN world, yeah.
Well, now I've got to go.
booth seats four. So go ahead and bring Sam and Harry with you. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Christine. Go ahead.
No, it's interesting in the second act when our relationship, when Donna and Sophie's relationship comes to a certain point, Alyssa and I have made a pact not to look in the audience if we are able to see anyone's faces. Yeah, there's mothers and daughters, but there's also daughters who have lost their mothers, mothers who have lost their daughters, that a lot we hear from a lot of folks. Yeah. So again, just going back to, you know, I think that sometimes musical, it was like what you said about Heart of Rock and Roll, right? Mm-hmm. They can be dismissed because they're jukebox musical. Like immediately it's just about the fun and not necessarily about the story. But I think that this time out, maybe it's because people are craving live entertainment. Maybe it's because they're craving connection. But I think we're really moving people with this musical. Yeah. And it just feels,
it's nice because it's generational too. I've noticed on many occasions there will be a daughter, her mother, and her grandmother at the stage door. Every single, I think at least once every other city will find that combination. And it's just, you know, just the people that happen to come to the stage door, who knows in the audience how many generational things we have going on there. It's really
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. And again, things trigger in my head, but what you just said reminded me of the first time I saw Dear Evan Hansen with Ben Platt. And I sat next to this father who had his two kids with him. And we don't need to talk about that show. I'm sure you've both seen it. But, you know, the bonding and the power, how this father would put his arm around his kids at certain moments in that show, the way these audiences connect. So you're saying that here, Christine, is that there's going to be this mother-daughter connection that people in the audience, it's really going to hit them.
Yeah, we're finding that there's so many storylines that people relate to and are really moved by the friendships, the love between Sam and Donna, and the progress of Alyssa. Sophie and Donna as they're moving through, you know, she's getting ready to say goodbye to her daughter, essentially. Yeah. So
do you find that... Jalen, there's been two movies here, and I knew that the first movie had like set records for, you know, box office, whatever, when it came out as the first like live action film, something like that. What I didn't know, and I will be honest, it surprised me, was that the second Mamma Mia also was the most successful sequel ever. I do give credit to Cher. huge Cher fan here. Have you ever met her? She's really short. But anyway.
No.
But yeah, she's like tiny. Don't you picture her as being like 6'9", right?
Because her legs are so long.
Right.
They're not. I've always
just imagined her as
She's like, I'm like 5'9" or something like that. We're the same height. And I thought, are you sure? Anyway, but the thing is, so that second time through where they had to craft a new plot and all of that. But what do you think, Jalen, the magic that stayed with both movies? Because look, there's a lot of other musicals get made into a movie. It can go either way, but sometimes the movies kind of kill it. That didn't happen here. There's something that's carrying it through. I'm guessing it is the music.
It's the music. It's got to be the music. The music of ABBA. It's surprisingly catchy, heartfelt, and just really, really well written, I'll say. And it just, I mean, there's a couple of earworms in the show like that get me already. I'm not completely familiar with all of the music from the second movie, but it's just once it gets in there and you get to grooving, it's something that just kind of catches.
I'm guessing you both, Christine, you both must fight that. I mean, in the show, you must be singing ABBA songs in your head in the shower and whatever you are, right? How do you get that out of your head?
It plays in my head endless times. I will say one of my favorites is like the Knowing Me, Knowing You. I will say it again and again. That song catches me and like I'll just be humming along and like, why is it in my head? It's just right. It catches.
And how annoying, Christine, is it? Maybe not at all. The fact that I'm guessing you're having half the audience either wanting to sing along with you or mouthing the words, or I can think of a certain critic who will be there, who will be singing, not me, who will be singing along with you because I often have to look at him and say, stop it. But so what is that a good, first of all, does it happen? I can't believe the answer is no. But secondly, are you like okay with it? Or is like, I really wish they'd stop.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. I am okay. I personally am okay with it. I feel like if you are so moved that you want to sing out loud, I mean, go for it. Post-COVID, we are all craving that. Like, let's go.
You realize what you're encouraging here.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. You have to be able to touch someone and move someone that much. That's why we're here, you know, to sort of get them out of the real life frame. So if you want to sing along, you sang right along.
So would that kind of triggers a question in me? And since you just said that, Jalen, I'll ask you, is there a message to Mamma Mia? I mean, I know the answer is, well, sure there is, but is Mamma Mia one of those musicals where it's like, just have fun? Or is it like, no, you're going to take something away from this?
It's a little bit of everything. I mean, you're going to have fun. You're going to cry. You're going to love. You're going to reminisce and have this nostalgia. If you know the music, you'll go back there. And even if you don't, you'll go back to those moments where you might see yourself in these characters or you might see yourself in the storylines of those characters. So it's just overall just one of those things that no matter what, you're going to enjoy.
And Christine, I'm guessing after 25 years, maybe not, but Benny, Bjorn, have you seen any of the ABBA folks come around at all?
We are anticipating a visit. We haven't had a visit yet. I have met them before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that'll happen for us.
Have they been in the audience where you know they're there?
No.
Okay.
Well, did you see him?
I know.
I was going to ask you because friends of mine who've been in Sondheim shows say that when they know Sondheim was in the audience, they couldn't even function. And you might enjoy this little piece, the Simon and Garfunkel show, which actually just precedes you. Actually, it overlaps with you while you're here in Chicago. But the stars of that who have been in the tour for a while, Garfunkel was in the audience one night, but no one knew. He told nobody. He bought a ticket under an assumed name. He had a secretary do it.
Wow.
But at the end of the show, whether you've seen it or not, but when after they do Bridge Over Troubled Waters, he got up and he walked on stage and no one knew he was there.
Amazing.
And the stars of the show just went, it's open draw time and stuff. So so I'll ask each of you, if an ABBA person or more were in the audience, would you say, don't tell me? Or no, at this point, I'm good.
Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
I don't know if I'm coming out the other side.
I know. Exactly. I don't want to know. Don't tell me to the end. Just walk on stage.
Does it, as you tour, by the way, Christine, I'm guessing in Vegas, you had to have done a 90-minute shortened version of this thing, right? That's what they do.
No,
the full show?
Yeah. Our producers and director are insistent that the show never be truncated. So it's always the full show, even on
with intermission.
Yes. Even on cruise line
in Vegas,
yeah.
I mean.
But also in Vegas. Yeah. In fact, I know you just did an interview with Sean Allen Krill. He was my fan in Vegas.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And I will see him in just a couple of weeks. I don't think.
Yeah, I just watched that interview with Sean.
Well,
and thank you.
Well, and he's doing. We just posted it, but he is doing Sunday in the Park with George, with Kathy Boyd. Yes, and I was going to say, I don't think you're here when that May 9, 10.
No, I am, because that's
you are here. You're here on May 19.
See my show.
Yes. I'm going to tell Sean, get over there and see it. But then you can return.
Like, I'm going to have to see you in Chicago.
Well, go to Lou Malnati's. We're going to take you to Lou Malnati's, Jaylen.
Okay, that's fine. I'm willing.
That's what you got. Yeah, and there's only two performances of Sunday in the Park with him. It's an in-concert thing. So,
okay.
And thank you for watching that, by the way. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I loved that interview.
You get a lot of free time, Christine, don't you, when you're on tour in Chicago? Sure, Chicago. You get numb. Is there any? Do you get anything?
We do get some daytime. Yeah, like, okay. We're in Detroit right now. My family's coming out. Of course, they like to say they're coming out to visit me, but we all know that the NFL draft is happening this
year. Oh, okay.
That's why they're really
Yeah, I'm not a sports guy, I'm a theater guy, so I actually didn't know that. But
yeah, no, the NFL draft, but actually they come out a lot. I have a 12-year-old, so. In cities where, like here, we have the Henry Ford Museum and things like that, mm-hmm. of note. So I like to bring him out to cities where he can have like great, you know, great experiences.
And Motown.
Oh yeah, and there's a Motown tour that's right. That we're actually today. Missing right now, Paul.
So I am just so excited that you guys are coming to Chicago and enjoy. And Christine, be sure you show Jaylen all around if you would. And any questions, you call me and I will take care of Jaylen. If she doesn't do anything, you call me and I'll make sure you see all the proper things. But Mamma Mia is playing at the Niederlander Theater. That's the current name. It's playing from April 30th until May 19th. Yay. That's a long time to be in the city. Time to enjoy it. Christine, you're coming home. Tickets can be gotten at BroadwayInChicago.com. I can't wait to see the show again for the millionth time. I will be the one. I usually sit in about the third row on the aisle. I will be up singing. You can look at me and say, Paul, shut up. Sit down.
Paul, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for being with me. I appreciate you. And we will see you soon. Chicago awaits you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.